I always enjoy the time that I serve in this church as an assistant pastor, youth pastor, associate pastor. It's hard, very difficult to let go some of the friends you grow to love and get to know them. But I can imagine how difficult for our Heavenly Father to let go His Son to fulfill His missions for salvation of humankind. But I know that God will take care of us, and one day when He comes in clouds of heaven, we will never say goodbye, but we will be with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in that glorious New Jerusalem that we're waiting to come soon and will be for us forever. Isn't that a wonderful hope that we have as Christians? So this morning, I would like to share with you a message from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. And before we start this morning, I invite you to join with me in the word of in prayer. God, our Father in heaven, You have called us, and You have a special place for each and every one of us in Your ministry. We glorify Your name because You know the future, You know the present, You know the past, and we know that You're still in control in our lives. Thank You, Jesus, for allowing us to serve You. Thank You, Jesus, for the great family that You've given unto us, the love that has been expressed. Thank You, Jesus. But we ask for the intervention of Your Holy Spirit at this very hour, that You will use myself as a humble instrument in Your hands. Speak through me. Speak in me, or speak in spite of me, so Your people may feel the voice of God through the preaching of Your word. Bless us this Sabbath. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. Our message this morning comes from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 up to verse 4. I entitle it, "It's Our Call to Serve in the Ministry." Our call to serve in the ministry. Turn your Bible to Acts chapter 6, 1 to 5. I will read it for us. "In those days, when the numbers of disciples was increasing, the Christian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, 'It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word.'" As I studied this passage, my mind pondering over the ministry and the opportunity to serve in this church, I ask God to forgive me if I have hurt any feelings or disappointed anybody. But I was so encouraged as I study and find out that God has a call for each and every one of us in His ministry. Mother Teresa became a known character throughout the world because of her devoted life to help the poorest of the poor. She spent most of her life in the street of Calcutta, India, work with the poor on the streets, with the lepers. She makes sure the poor receive medical care. She would like to see children well fed. Most of all, she spent time with the dying. with those people we had the last moment with Sister Teresa, sharing their pain and their wishes, their final moments with her. One day that as Mother Teresa or Sister Teresa was working on the street with the homeless and the poor, she found a mother on the street lying dying, and she was half devoured by rats. She tried to rush her to the hospital, but she died in her arms. Mother Teresa rededicated her call and devout to prepare shelter, build shelters and homes for the dying. Now we see all over the world, and many of families benefit from that service, the hospice ministry. It was give birth from the ministry of Sister Teresa. As she was interviewed and asked about her call to serve, she wrote in the book, she wrote a simple path. She said, "I am a little pencil in God's hand. God does the thinking, He does the writing. The pencil has only be allowed to be used whenever it's necessary." And also she continued to write, "My call to service, I was called to give all things to follow Jesus to the slum of Calcutta." What a devoted life of service. And she became famous because of her fully devoted to serve the least. Believe that those poor, the least, they represent Jesus Christ. So the Bible is a record of accounts of people being called by God to serve, and there we study many examples of God called many peoples in the scripture. As well known, when God called Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 4, God said, "Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land where I show to you." And God said to Abram, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse." And finally, God said to Abram, "All people on earth will be blessed through you." When God calls us, He calls us for a purpose, for a main reason. He would like to bless others that get to know us. He calls us so we can become a channel of blessings for others. Isn't that wonderful? You remember when God called Moses, he left the palace in Egypt and hide himself in the Midianites, and God called Moses. As he was wondering about a strange sight of a bush that was caught in fire but never burned, so Moses came around and God called him. God said to Moses, "Moses, hold it right there. Take off your shoes, because the place you are now standing is a holy ground." When God calls us, He calls us to be part of a sacred mission of deliverance of souls. You know the story. Moses rejected, turned down the call, and said, "God, not me. I cannot speak." But God patience enough and said, "Moses, who made the mouth? Who created the tongue? Who makes the deaf ear mute and restore sight to the blind? I did all of it. Just go, open your mouth, and I will speak the words." Not only God invite us in a ministry to serve in the ministry, but He also remind us He will be with us always. He would love to work with us. One more example, the example of David. The sinful man, the adulterous man, the murderer. But God have patience with him. Work with him. Mold him. Purify him. And beautify him. God called David. And the Bible tells us he was a man that searched God's heart. He wrote one of his famous writings and said, God, create in me a new heart. Restore in me the joy of your salvation. Isn't that wonderful? When God calls us, he calls us to enjoy the peace, the promise of God. Although there will be challenge along the way, there will be suffering, difficulties. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter 6, if you know, at the beginning of the book of Acts, there we discover some of the challenge and difficulties that the disciples and those who commit their lives to the Lord experience because of their acceptance of the call to serve. There's a price to pay when we say, God, here I am. We know from studying the book of Acts, Peter and John were thrown in jail. Not only that, it was someone to call to be judge. Stephen was stoned to death, even Andrews. But they were rejoiced in the suffering because God called them in a ministry. And then when Paul wrote to encourage the saints in Rome during time of persecution, Paul wrote Romans 5, 3 to verse 3 to 5, he wrote, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love within our hearts by the work of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? God called us, but he also assured to us that he will be with us and our hearts will be full of joy when we fully give ourselves to Jesus. Even in Romans chapter 1 verse 17, 16 and 17, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's a power of God for salvation of everyone who believes, first to the Jews, to the Gentiles. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm excited this morning because I know each and every one of us, God has called each and every one of us to serve in the ministry. All Christians are called to serve in the vineyard of God. How does God call us to serve? How does the experience, as we discover in chapter 6, teach us about the intents of God and the requirements of God when he called us to serve? If you turn your Bibles and look at Acts chapter 6, verse 3 and 2 and 3, we'll start from there. When God called us, he called us to do a special purpose. I will read it for us. Acts chapter 6. Verse 3 and verse 4. My Bible says, brothers and women and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to the prayer and the ministry of the word. Do you know when the first Christian church start to form and get together, people were selling their possession at home and would like to get together and would like to share with the group, with the apostles. And they were kept together to study the Word of God. There were some concerns arise, challenge. It was been experienced that some of them were overlooked. Some of them were being pushed aside. Some of them were neglected. The sense of unity was stretched thin. And then the apostle says, let us come together and reason. What shall we do? And they said, select, examine, investigate among you those who have seemed to be full with the Holy Spirit and with the wisdom of God. My family, this morning I would like you to know, when the apostles give the recommendations to the group of believers and Christians, actually they will recommend to them, we need to find out who among us that fully commit themselves to Jesus. We need to find among us who is fully surrender his life or her life to Jesus. If you look at chapter 4 of book of Acts and verse 13, it tells us right there. And let me start with verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. There is no other name that we have salvation, only the name of Jesus. To be a Christian, we must accept the gospel of salvation, accept Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior in our lives in order to have salvation. And then verse 13 says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, uneducated, ordinary men, they were astonished. They took note that this man had been with who? Had been with Jesus. When they give the recommendations to search, seek, examine among you, those who seems to have full with the Holy Spirit, the apostles were saying, let us examine who has fully committed, fully surrender his life or her life to have Jesus to be Lord and Savior of his life. Because Jesus will fill us with his Holy Spirit. If you remember John 16 verse 17, Jesus said, it's good that I will leave, because if I not go, the Holy Spirit will not come. Did you know our knowledge of Jesus, our relationship with Jesus, the outcome and the result of that will be filled with the Holy Spirit, will be filled with the power of God. So when the disciples give a recommendation, we've seen there are problems in the church, we've seen there are needs and concerns that need to take care of, let us find among ourselves those who are fully committed to Jesus, because we see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in their lives. When God called us to serve in the ministry, God called us to open our heart to Jesus, allow Jesus to be a Lord and Savior of our lives. Because the end result, the power of the Holy Spirit will be manifested through us. And that's what happened in chapter 6. Choose among you those who seems to be full with the Holy Spirit and with the wisdom of God. When I started in a ministry, I received no call from the conference. It's very difficult. So there's a church, I volunteer as a youth pastor, and that church was able to sponsor my family. They gracious to sponsor us for $500 a month. I was excited because that's my passion. I would like to learn to grow in a ministry. I start in the morning, I came late at night. My wife said, "Are you married to that church?" I said, "Honey, we call in the ministry." About 2 years later, my wife started working because she was the only source of income. Her income was able to pay our bills and pay our medical insurance. And she said, "Pastor, you have to do something. I just about to give birth to our first child, but your $500 will not pay our rent and pay the medical bills for our first child." It hit me hard. I learned from that experience that we may, when we commit our lives to Jesus, God will give the Holy Spirit unto us and even give us the wisdom. But we need to use the common sense. I learned committing our life to Jesus is fully surrender of the life to Jesus and meditate, prayerfully meditate on the word and be obedient to act in faith, the guiding inspirations of the Holy Spirit. I believe that's what the full commitment to Jesus. Daily surrender the hearts to Jesus, prayerfully study the word of God and be obedient to act in faith in the inspiring guidance of the Holy Spirit. I was inspired by the Holy Spirit after committing, opened my life to Jesus. My family this morning, committing our life to Jesus is not 1 week devotional experience. It's not. It's a daily dying of self. It's a daily experience of inviting Jesus, surrendering the selfish, but let Jesus be the center of our hearts. I was inspired after praying. I say, "God, you promise you take care of my needs." And I said to my wife, "You know, why don't you ask your boss if we can loan some money from him?" She looked at me, "What are you going to do with it?" I said, "I'm inspired to start a business." Loan us the money, we buy it. I use the old truck, buy some tools. I feel guilty because now I have a job and a ministry. I said to God, I was work for 3 days, but 2 days for you. God never fail in his promise to provide for our needs. For those 3 days, I was able to pay my rent, help to pay the medical bill, but also reserve some money to prepare us to go to the seminary. My friend, this morning, when we full surrender our lives to Jesus, God will give us the Holy Spirit, inspire us with the Holy Spirit, and even give us the wisdom to use our mind properly. That's what the disciples make a recommendation to the brothers, the brethren, when there was a concern arise within the church. They said, "Call people who seems to be full with the Holy Spirit." Those are the fruits of a personal commitment with Jesus. When God calls us to serve, he only invites us, "Open your hearts to Jesus. Let him be the rule, the Lord and master of your life, and you will see how amazing things will happen within our lives." Not only call those who full with Spirit and with wisdom, But in verse 4 it says, last part of verse 3, we will turn this responsibility unto them. Did you know when God called us in a ministry, He called us to be responsible. You know what? Actually, in chapter 6, those conflicts, those arguments, those concerns and issues arise because the basic needs of the group were not met. They're probably short of food. They're probably, some people did not bring enough. So their basic needs were not met. My friends, this morning, as I study and meditate, I recognize when God calls us to ministry, we were called to be responsible for each one's well-being. That's the strength of the church. That's the strength that brings unity within the church when members start to look out for each one, for each other's need. Care for each one, for each other's need. Let me remind you, when Jesus came down to serve humanity, He came down to care for your needs, for my needs, in order for us to have the opportunity of salvation. Look at Philippians chapter 2 verse 3 verse and Philippians chapter 2 verse 3 to verse 5. You can may turn there and I read it for us. The Apostle Paul wrote to the book to the church in Philippi, and he said, "Do nothing out of selfish ambitions or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others." And verse 5 is very critical, very important. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus. Jesus put before Him interest of humanity. Your need and my needs is much more important to Jesus than in Himself. To have a vibrant, joyful, happy church, the apostles need people to call into ministry, into service, to care for each other's need. I think that's the most crucial need in the church. Care for each other. I'm so thankful to have the opportunity to serve in Fallbrook. I feel bad because I left the church for over 6 months. But I was keeping communications with the church, with Dan, I call and we pray. Called my wife almost every day. I was lonely. Check on them, how things going. I was humbled by the report. Some of you will go out in your means to provide for my wife and my children. I will never forget your hospitality. And I want to do more, and I want to serve more, to return that favor. One of the members of the church remained anonymous, paid the tuition of my boys for all that time. I still don't know who's that person. Only God knows your heart. That's what it means, care for one another's need. Some of you came, take my children, be a father and a mother for my children. I called one day, my wife said that I could not drive home. And called one of the members of the church, and he picked her up and take it to the hospital. That's what it means, call, to care for one's need. Just like the attitude of Jesus. That's what we need. Care for one another's needs. Some of you take my van, our car, fix it without refusing to receive any bills. Say it's not only for my family, but as I visit to other families of the church, they express the same gratefulness of the peoples among the church. My family, this morning, I encourage you to maintain that, because that's a call to ministry, call to serve, care for each other's need. You know what's going to happen? It fosters unity. It fosters oneness. It resolves conflicts within the church. If you are unsure, what is your call? God never called us to do something that beyond our strength. He only invites us to have a personal relationship with Jesus and care for one another's needs. And lastly, the apostle says, and we keep our attentions to prayer and the ministry of the word. Very, very important as we work together in the family of God, as we struggle to build the church, the body of Christ, there's an emphasis in prayer and the study of the word. I think that's the thing that we need to work a little bit more on it, on prayer. As an associate pastor, it's part of my duty to go and visit to some of the family and pray with your families and have a good rapport with your family. I'm sorry I didn't have to visit all the families of the church. It's part of my job to visit and pray. But it means a lot when some of you call and say, Pastor, how are you? Let me pray with you. I feel honored. I feel uplifted because even my soul needs prayer. Praise God for that spirit. We need to foster the spirit of prayer in the city, in the necessary prayer. We get all this model, all this way of serving others. We learn it from Jesus Christ. When he was hung on the cross, he said, my Father, forgive this, forgive those, forgive them, because they do not know, they do not understand. Intercessory prayer. We need to cultivate the need of prayer. Maybe your schedule does not allow you to come to the DVD ministry, but pray for the success of the DVD ministry. Your prayer will inspire someone else that never hear the gospel and to come to the prayer meeting. Pray for the church. And I'll say, in the ministry of the word, studying of the word. I was very encouraged. You know, you probably all know Emerald Black, the Adventist chaplain, friend of some of our members. I remember when he was giving a speech before the high government official, even the president and the vice presidents were there. Chaplain Black's recite the scripture from memory, text after text after text, all from the scripture, none of his word, but just the promise from the word of God. And he received a standing ovation because of how he shared his faith, not his own thoughts, but the reciting of the word of God. I'm very encouraged to hear some of the teachers at EAA committed their students to recite the scripture, commit to memorize. That's what we need. Spend more times in the word of God. As I go with Pastor Maxwell doing Bible studies, when he's challenged by difficult question, I see him just turn to this text, turn to this text. It's encouraging and it's inspiring. It moves people to accept the truth because of our spending times in prayer in the Word of God. But you know what happened? If you look at verse 9 and verse 10, the Bible tells us, verse 9 and verse 10, the end of verse 9, it reads, These men began to argue with Stephen. And verse 10, but they could not stand up against his wisdom or the spirit by whom he spoke. When we spend time with the Word of God, it will help us to defend the truth and uphold the truth and the truth alone. My friend, this morning, what happened in the upper room is that the disciples come together in one spirit, come together in prayer and in meditation of the Word of God. And you know the result. It was rush, mighty wing of the Holy Spirit coming down upon them. And they were able to do extraordinary things. They were unschooled, uneducated. But God filled them with the Holy Spirit. Why? First, they spent time with Jesus. Second, they care for each other's need. And thirdly, they spend time in prayer and in meditations of the Word. When God calls us to serve, He only invites us. Surrender your life to Jesus. Look out for your brothers and your sisters' need. Pray for them and share the word of truth with them. It will resolve all the problems, but foster unity and togetherness. Some of us may think, well, I need to be a pastor, I need to be a missionary called to serve. It's just an invitation. Give yourself to Jesus. If you haven't do that, why not allow this Sabbath to be a rededication of your relationship with Jesus? Why not look for someone else and see if there's any need? Why not pray and study together with your members? God will bless us. God will hold us together because we have a responsibility to do, to bring the family of God together, because He's the head and we are the body of the church. Each and every one of us has a part in the ministry. With God's grace, the end result, those disciples, those deacons, they will do signs and wonders because they fully give themselves to Jesus. And it happens. It will be experienced. It will be seen in our life as well. May God bless us as we continue to celebrate the Sabbath and serve Him with all the energy and all the strength that we have to give Him glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.